نعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم والذين من قبلكم لعلكم تتقون يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما أما بعد So alhamdulillah, we begin the second day of the sharh or the explanation of this book, Thalathatul Usul. I'm relying mainly on the sharh explanation given by a sheikh in Riyadh, Sheikh Saleh ibn Abdul Aziz ibn Muhammad ibn Ibrahim al-Sheikh, who is the grandson of the Mufti al-Am in Saudi Arabia. The Mufti al-Am before Sheikh bin Baz, Sheikh Muhammad ibn Ibrahim, is his grandson. So this is generally where I'm getting most of the sharh or the explanation that I'm giving from, inshallah. So we reach the place in the book where the Sheikh says, Ar-Rab huwa al-Ma'bud. Ar-Rab huwa al-Ma'bud, that the Lord is the one who is worshipped. Rab, as we explained yesterday, is the Lord. And this term rububiyyah, tawheed ar-rububiyyah, comes from this word Rab. Al-Ma'bud comes from the root word abada. Yu'bad, ya'budu, ma'bud. To worship. And ma'bud is the one who is worshipped. The one who is worshipped. So the Rabb, the one who is the Lord, the one who is the Creator, as he said yesterday, as the Shaykh proved, that Allah is the Rabb. He is the one who is the Creator. He is the one who sustains. He is the one who provides. In His hand is the commandment. So, once we realize that Allah is the Rabb, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, as the Shaykh said, and he brought his proof. He said that all praise belongs to Allah, Lord of the world, Lord of the Alameen. And we said that since we are of the Alameen, as Alameen is everything except for Allah, then Allah is our Lord as well. So therefore, we have proved that Allah is the Lord, the one who creates, the one who sustains and so on. Now, we want to prove that the Rabb, the one who creates, the creator, the sustainer, he is the one to be worshipped also. All worship should be directed to the Rabb, to the Lord, and to none other than the Lord. And the proof of this is the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسُ عَبُدُوا رَبَّكُمُ الَّذِي خَلَقَكُمْ وَالَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ So Allah says, O mankind, worship your Lord, who created you and created those who came before you, so that perchance you may be of those who have taqwa, those who fear Allah. So Allah says, Ya ayyuhan nasu ubudu rabbakum, worship your Lord, O mankind. Worship your Lord. Showing that the Lord, the one who created us, is the one who deserves all worship. And then we have a ta'aleel. Ta'aleel, a reason, or a cause, a reason, let's say. Why? It's as though the questioner may ask, why should we worship our Lord? Like the Christians, they don't worship their Lord alone. They worship Isa alayhi salam, who they also acknowledge, just like the Muslims do, that Isa alayhi salam is not the Rabb, he's not the Lord. But worship has to be given to Isa alayhi salam, they claim. Likewise, the mushrikeen of Mecca, they understood that Allah is the Lord. Because Allah says in the Quran, وَلَئِن سَأَلْتَهُمْ مَنْ خَلَقَهُمْ لَيَقُولُنَّ اللَّهِ. And if you were to ask them who created them, they would surely say, Allah. So mankind generally affirms that Allah is the Lord. But what they deny, generally speaking, is that Allah is the one, the Lord is the one who deserves all worship. Because they seek a wasila or a means to get to Allah, to worship Allah through the idols. Because they would say, the mushrikeen of Mecca would say, that they are shufa'auna عند Allah. They are, these idols are our shufa'a, our intermediaries, getting us closer to Allah. They're stepping stones between us and Allah, tabarak wa ta'ala, Rabbul Alameen, because they affirm He's the Lord. So, the cause, why should we worship our Lord alone? Allah says in the next part of the ayah, الَّذِي جَعَلَ لَكُمُ الْأَرْضَ فِرَاشًا وَالسَّمَاءَ بِنَاءً وَأَنْزَلَ مِنَ السَّمَاءِ مَاءً فَأَخْرَجَ بِهِ مِنَ الثَّمَرَاتِ رِزْقًا لَكُمْ فَلَا تَجْعَلُوا لِلَّهِ أَنْدَادًا وَأَنْتُمْ تَعْلَمُونَ. Allah says, the one who made the earth a resting place for you, or a spread. And He made the skies and the heavens a canopy over you. And He sent down from the skies rain. From the heavens He sent down rain. And from that brought forth crops and fruits from the earth as provision for you. So do not set up rivals with Allah in your worship. Or even though you know that, you don't have a Lord besides Allah. So Allah has got a ta'aleel, or He's made a ta'aleel, a reason. As though the questioner, He says, He orders you first, well, worship Allah, worship your Lord. And then the questioner may ask, why my Lord? Why should I worship my Lord? Why can't I worship Isa alayhi salam? Why can't I worship Uzair alayhi salam? Why can't I worship the angel Jibreel? Or why can't I worship even Muhammad sallallahu alayhi salam? Allah says, الَّذِي خَلَقَكُمْ, the one who created you. So as though He's saying, this is the reason why you should worship Him, because He is the one who created you alone. Isa alayhi salam did not create you. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi salam did not create you. Jibreel alayhi salam did not create you. So worship your Lord, who created you, who sent down rain from the sky, who made the earth and the heavens, made the earth a resting place for you. So you can build your houses there. You can live there. Made the sky a canopy, like a roof over your head. And sent down water, rain, and then brought forth fruits. This is only done by Allah, Rabbul Alameen, the Lord of the world. So therefore, فَلَا تَجْعَلُوا لِلَّهِ أَنْدَادًا. Allah says, use the fa, the letter fa. فَلَا تَجْعَلُوا عَلُوا لِلَّهِ أَنْدَادًا. The letter fa, I mean, you can translate as so. So therefore. Yeah? So therefore. So therefore, because of the previous thing, because that Allah is the Lord, because He is the one who did all these things, don't set up rivals with Allah in your worship. فَلَا تَجْعَلُوا لِلَّهِ أَنْدَادًا وَأَنْتُمْ تَعْلَمُونَ. Even though you know. And the tafsir is, even though you know that you have no Lord besides Allah. This is why Ibn Kathir rahmatullah alayh, and Ibn Kathir was Imaduddin Abu al-Fida Ismail ibn Umar al-Qurashi. He's the author of the famous tafsir, which is now tafsir al-Quran al-Azim, I think you call it. Which is now known as Tafsir ibn Kathir, generally. And is also the author of Bidayah wa Nihaya. And he died in the year 774 Hijrah. Many of the ulama rely upon his tafsir, including the likes of the Sufis and their various other, various groups and whatever. So I myself, I think I've read something from Nuh Keller, who actually was praising Ibn Kathir when somebody asked him a question regarding the tafsir of Ibn Kathir. So we see that Ibn Kathir, rahmatullah alayhi, he said, Al-Khaliqu lihadihi al-ashya'i huwa al-mustahiqu lil-ibadah. That the creator of all these things, he is the one deserving of worship. He is the one deserving of all worship, nobody else. So when we are certain that the Lord is the Ma'bud, because now inshallah we are certain that the Lord is the one, Ar-Rabb huwa al-Ma'bud, the Lord is the one who deserves worship, then it is now appropriate to mention the various types of ibadah that have to be singled out for Allah alone. So this is why the Shaykh Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab, he continues and he says, وَأَنْأَوَاءُ الْعِبَادَةِ الَّتِي أَمْرَ اللَّهُ بِهَا مِثْلُ الْإِسْلَامِ وَالْإِيمَانِ وَالْإِحْسَانِ وَمِنْهُ الدُّعَاءُ وَالْخَوْفُ وَالرَّجَاءُ وَالتَّوَكُّلُ وَالرَّغْبَةُ وَالرَّهْبَةُ وَالْخُشُوءُ وَالْخَشْيَةُ وَالْإِنَابَةُ وَالْإِسْتِعَانَةُ وَالْإِسْتِعَاذَةُ وَالذَّبْحُ وَالنَّذْرُ وَغَيْرُ ذَلِكَ مِنَ الْعِبَادَةِ الَّتِي أَمَرَ اللَّهُ بِهَا كُلُّهَا لِلَّهِ تَعَالَى وَالدَّلِيلُ قَوْلُهُ تَعَالَى وَأَنَّ الْمَسَاجِدَ لِلَّهِ فَلَا تَدْعُوا مَعَ اللَّهِ أَحَدًا فَمَنْ صَرَفَ مِنْهَا لِغَيْرِ اللَّهِ فَهُوَ مُشْرِكٌ كَافِرٌ والدليل قوله تعالى ومن يدعو مع الله إلها آخر لا برهان له به فإنما حسابه عند ربه إنه لا يفلح الكافرون. So then Sheikh Muhammad continues and he says, all the types of worship which Allah commanded, like Islam, Iman, and ihsan, and later on we'll find out what these are inshallah, and from that is dua, supplication. In this case we're talking about dua al-mas'ala. Remember yesterday we said that dua is of two categories, dua al-ibadah and dua al-mas'ala. Dua al-ibadah, oh sorry, dua al-mas'ala is what the general common people say is dua. So when you say I make dua, you think of someone raising his hands, Ya Rabbi, and you make a certain dua. It's dua al-mas'ala. It's only one type of dua. Then you have dua al-ibadah, the dua of worship. And this is just like salah, zakah, sawm, hajj, all the various different types of ibadah, is also known as dua. So here the Shaykh is talking about dua al-mas'ala, the specific type of dua, the dua of asking. And so from amongst these different types of worship, he mentions dua, khawf, having fear of Allah. Raja, hope and longing. Tawakkul, trust and reliance. Raghba, fervent desire. Rahba, dread and fear, specific type of fear. Khushu', a reverence and humility. Khashiyah, a type of awe. And also it's a type of fear as well. Inaba, turning back to Allah in repentance, specific form of tawbah. Isti'ana, appealing for aid and assistance. Isti'adha, seeking refuge. Istighatha, seeking deliverance. Dhabh, which is slaughtering or slaughtering. Nazar, vowing. And all the rest of the types of worship commanded by Allah, all of them are to be done exclusively for Allah Ta'ala. And the proof of this, he says, is the saying of Allah the Most High, وَأَنَّ الْمَسَاجَدَ لِلَّهِ فَلَا تَدْعُوا مَعَ اللَّهِ أَحَدًا. And that the mosques, the places of worship, and the places of prayer are for Allah alone, so do not invoke anyone along with him, with Allah. Don't make dua to anyone along with Allah. So anyone who directs any part of that to anything besides Allah, then he is a mushrik, a polytheist, a kafir, a disbeliever. And the proof of this is the saying of Allah the Most High, وَمَنْ يَدْعُ مَعَ اللَّهِ إِلَهًا آخَرَ لَا بُرْهَانَ لَهُ بِهِ فَإِنَّمَا حِسَابُهُ عِنْدَ رَبِّهِ إِنَّهُ لَا يُفْلِحُ الْكَافِرُونَ. And whoever worships along with Allah any other object of worship, he has no proof for this. and his reckoning will be with his Lord. Indeed, the unbelievers will never prosper. وفي الحديث الدعاء مخ العبادة. And in the hadith that dua is the core of worship. So inshallah we'll begin with the sharh, the explanation of this part. Ibn Taymiyyah rahmatullah alayh, who died 728 after Hijrah, he gave a definition of ibadah that summarizes what the Salaf said. Al-ibadah ismun jami' li kulli ma yuhibbuhu Allahu wa yardahu min al-aqwali wal-a'mali al-zahira wal-batin. That ibadah, worship, is a general term for everything that Allah loves and is pleased with. From the statements and actions, both outward and inward. And this is a very important definition. I advise the brothers and sisters to write this down, inshallah. That ibadah, or worship, is a general term for all that Allah loves and is pleased with of statement and action, both inward and outward. So here he's kind of mentioned different types of ibadah, and he said that ibadah is of two categories, statement and action. And this is similar to iman. When we said iman has got two categories, statement and action. Statement of the tongue and the heart, for example, dhikr, and the heart intention and ikhlas and so on. And action, such as action of the heart, like sir, etc. Action of the limbs, like sacrifice, dhabh, slaughter and so on. So these are different types of worship. Worship occurs both on the tongue and on the limbs, in the heart, of course. So this is a general definition of ibadah. Okay, once again, it's a general term for all that Allah Ta'ala loves and is pleased with, of statements and actions, both inward and outward. So then the Shaykh Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab, he mentions a list of different types of worship. So he says, such as dua, khawf, raja, tawakkul, raghba, rahba, khushu', khashya, inaba, isti'ana, isti'aza, istighatha, dhabh, and nazar. He says all of these belong to Allah tabarak wa ta'ala alone. فَمَنْ صَرَفَ مِنْهَا شَيْئًا لِغَيْرِ اللَّهِ فَهُوَ مُشْرِكٌ كَافِرٌ. So if these are all different types of worship, then whoever directs any of these different types of worship, any of them, to other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he's a polytheist and a disbeliever. What's the proof of this? وَمَنْ يَدْعُ مَعَ اللَّهِ إِلَهًا آخَرَ لَا بُرْهَانَ لَهُ. And whoever worships alongside Allah someone else, another ilah, another thing, that another deity. He doesn't have any proof for this. فَإِنَّمَا حِسَابُهُ عِنْدَ رَبِّهِ. His hisab or his account is with Allah, with his Lord. Indeed, Allah does not allow the kafirun, the disbelievers, to be prosperous. So therefore, Allah has called these people to worship a Lord or a deity besides Allah. He calls them kuffar, the kafirun. He doesn't prosper the kafirun. Doesn't allow them to prosper. In fact, to worship other than the Lord, worship other than Allah, a person, what he'd be doing, Allah, he'd be negating the statement of Allah, يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسُ أَبُدُوا رَبَّكُمْ. O mankind, worship your Lord. So here a person would be negating this statement. He would be worshipping other than his Lord, and therefore negating the statement of Allah, worship your Lord. And this is shirk. So Allah says, وَأَنَّ الْمَسَاجِدَ لِلَّهِ. And the mosques, they belong to Allah. Okay, the mosques, they belong to Allah. Masjid literally comes from the root word sajada, yasjudu, which means to prostrate. And masjid is like the place of prostration. The place of prostration. The place of worship, and is known as the mosque. فَلَا تَدْعُوا مَعَ اللَّهِ إِلَهًا فَلَا تَدْعُوا مَعَ اللَّهِ أَحَدًا. So do not make dua. تَدْعُوا comes from دَعَى يَدْعُوا دُعَاءً. Do not make dua to anyone alongside Allah. So we said that dua is of two categories. Okay? In the Quran, it comes with two meanings, dua. Dua al-mas'ala, the dua of asking, and dua al-ibadah. And we gave yesterday the proof that dua al-ibadah exists, and dua has the meaning of ibadah. From the ayah of the Quran where Allah says, وَقَالَ رَبُّكُمْ ادْعُونِي أَسْتَجِبْ لَكُمْ إِنَّ الَّذِينِ يَسْتَكْبِرُونَ عَنْ عِبَادَتِي سَيَدْخُلُونَ جَهَنَّمَ دَاخِرِينَ. And your Lord said, call upon me, make dua to me, and I will answer you. So in the first part of the ayah, he says, make dua to me. Then he says, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يَسْتَكْبِرُونَ عَنْ عِبَادَتِي سَيَدْخُلُونَ جَهَنَّمَ دَاخِرِينَ. Indeed, those who are proud and haughty with respect to my ibadah, my worship. So this is the explanation of the word dua in the first part of the ayah. They will enter into hellfire in humiliation. So dua comes with two meanings in the Quran. Dua meaning ibadah, and also the Prophet ﷺ said, "Ad-du'a huwa al-ibadah." Dua is worship. It's worship. It's like al-hajju arafah. The statement of the Prophet ﷺ that hajj is arafah, meaning it's a huge like core of arafah is like a huge core of the hajj or pillar of hajj. In the same way, dua is a great pillar of worship. So a dua huwa al-ibadah, it is worship. So dua has two meanings in the Quran. Now if you don't have an evidence to limit the meaning of the word dua to one of these two meanings, then you have to take that both meanings are incorporated in the ayah. So for example, in this ayah, فَلَا تَدْعُوا مَعَ اللَّهِ أَحَدًا. So don't make dua to anyone alongside Allah. What some people claim is this is only talking about dua al-mas'ala, talking about the dua of asking. But Ahl Sunnah say no, this also includes dua al-ibadah, the dua of worship. So you can't give any worship to anyone alongside Allah. Why? Because dua in the Quran comes with two meanings, and both meanings, you have to understand both meanings of them. You can't just understand one meaning unless there's a proof. And here, because there's no proof that only one of these two meanings are meant, then we have to take both meanings. Is that clear? Is that clear? Please. So now we have affirmed that all worship is the right of Allah. هُوَ الْمُسْتَحِقُ لِلْعِبَادَةِ He is the one who has the right of all worship. Nobody else has this right to be worshipped besides Allah. So then the Shaykh says, فَمَنْ صَرَفَ مِنْهَا شَيْئًا لِغَيْرِ اللَّهِ فَهُوَ مُشْرِكٌ كَافِرٌ So whoever directs any of this worship to other than Allah, then he is a polytheist and a disbeliever. And the evidence here, as we mentioned, is وَمَنْ يَدْءُ مَعَ اللَّهِ إِلَهًا آخَرَ لَا بُرْهَانَ لَهُ بِهِ فَإِنَّمَا حِسَابُهُ عِنْدَ رَبِّهِ إِنَّهُ لَا يُفْلِحُ الْكَافِرُونَ And whoever worships along with Allah and the other objects of worship, he has no proof of this. His reckoning will be with his Lord. Indeed, the believers will never prosper. The unbelievers will never prosper. What is meant here is shirkul akbar. Wa mushrikun kafir. He's a mushrik in the sense he's committed major shirk. He's been taken outside the fold of Islam. And shirk, the reality of shirk, is to take a rival or a partner with Allah. To take a rival or partner with Allah. As Allah says, فَلَا تَجْعَلُوا لِلَّهِ أَنْدَادًا So do not make andad, or rivals with Allah. Don't make rivals with Allah. So this means shirk is to take a rival or a partner with Allah. And there are various taxonomies of shirk, various different ways of categorizing shirk. One way of categorizing, some scholars categorize it into two, shirkul akbar and shirkul asghar, the greater shirk and the lesser shirk. The greater shirk that takes someone outside the fold of Islam, and the lesser shirk, shirkul asghar, that doesn't take someone outside the fold of Islam. That's one category. That's one way of categorizing shirk. Another way is a shirk al zahir wa shirk al khafi. The apparent shirk, that which is apparent, polytheism, and that which is hidden shirk. Can't actually see it. So for example, your beliefs and so on. And the third category, which Shaykh Saleh al-Sheikh mentioned, and he is the one who, as I said, I'm relying on his shaykh. He says that shirk is of three categories. Shirkul akbar, shirkul asghar, and shirkul khafi. Shirkul akbar, the greater shirk. And this takes a person outside the fold of Islam. And it is, examples of these are like slaughtering, or vowing to, or by other than Allah, tabarak wa ta'ala. This greater, major shirk. Lesser shirk, shirkul asghar. Like swearing by other than Allah. You know, when you hear people saying, I swear by my mother's grave, or this grave, or grandmother's grave, or... And nowadays you even have, I heard someone saying, in Punjabi, Meri Kuri Di Qasam, which means, I swear by my girlfriend. But anyway, so people wish to swear by many things, and this is Shirkul Asghar. The lesser shirk doesn't actually, it can take a person outside the fold of Islam with certain conditions, but generally it is termed as lesser shirk. And the third category of shirk is shirkul khafi, the hidden shirk. And this is, for example, like riya, when a person, he prays, and he's doing it in order to show off, or he's doing something in order to get the praise of the people. Okay, so this is three categories of shirk. Then there are two ways of proving that an act of worship has to be directed to Allah alone, and that it is shirk to direct it to other than Allah. Okay? Two ways. The first way is by looking at this definition that we gave of ibadah, that ibadah is a general term for all that Allah loves and is pleased with, of statements and action, both inward and outward. If we look at this definition, and we find that Allah Ta'ala loves and is pleased with something, then we know, and it's from statement and action, both inward and outward, then we know that this ibadah can only be directed to Allah. وَأَنَّ الْمَسَاجِدَ لِلَّهِ فَلَا تَدْعُوا مَا اللَّهِ أَحَدًا. That the mosques, they belong to Allah, so don't make dua to other than Allah, including ibadah. So anything that is, that we can prove is ibadah, we must only direct it to Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. Is that clear? Like I said yesterday, I need some nods here. Or shaking heads. So, an example of this. Actually, we'll leave the examples to later, inshallah. The second way of proving that something is shirk and that it is an act of worship and it should only be directed to Allah is by, if the text of the Quran and Sunnah actually say that such and such an action, you know, if you direct it to other than Allah, it is kufr and shirk. Inshallah, we'll bring many examples, so if it's not 100% clear still, then inshallah it will become a bit clearer. So these are two ways of proving. A general proof, if you prove something is an ibadah, that Allah loves it and is pleased with it, therefore you can only direct it to Allah. And a specific proof from the Quran and Sunnah, that such and such an action is shirk, or is kufr, or it should not be directed to other than Allah. So why are we mentioning this? Because it is upon the student of knowledge to go away and use as many different proofs as possible to the people, so that they don't have any doubt in their heart that they can't worship, they don't have any doubts in their heart that worship belongs only to Allah, that they can only bow to Allah, that they can only slaughter and sacrifice by Allah, that they can only swear by Allah, and so on and so forth. Because this is a matter of paradise and hellfire. This is a matter of paradise and hellfire. If we saw someone walking across the road, or walking across a train track, and a train's coming fast, you'd push them out of the way. You want to save them from this. So how about saving a person from the punishment of the hellfire? How about saving a person from the punishment of the eternal abode in the hellfire? The eternal abode, brothers and sisters, in the hellfire. If we actually contemplate about this, this is a serious matter. We want people to come to Islam, to come to the true Islam, to the worship of one Allah, one God. La ilaha illallah. Nothing has the right to be worshipped except Allah. So let us do our da'wah. Let us call people to Islam with wisdom, with knowledge. As we mentioned yesterday, the importance of da'wah. So let us use the various different types of proof. As much proof as possible. So the person doesn't have any doubt in what you're saying. So the person can begin to worship Allah alone, not worshipping anything other than Allah. And this is the fundamental of the religion of Islam. So then the Shaykh says, وَالدَّلِيل. He's talking about the evidence of خوف. Sorry, the evidence of dua. The evidence of dua. وَقَالَ رَبُّكُمُ ادْعُونِي أَسْتَجِبْ لَكُمْ إِنَّ الَّذِينِ يَسْتَكْبِرُونَ عَلْ عِبَادَتِي سَيَدْخُلُونَ جَهَنَّمَ دَاخِرِينَ. And your Lord said to make dua to me, and I will answer you, and pardon you, and have mercy upon you. Indeed those who show kibr, or pride. And haughtiness with respect to my ibadah, with my worship, then they will enter the hellfire in humiliation and disgrace. So as we said, this incorporates dua al-mas'ala and dua al-ibadah. So at the moment we're talking about dua al-mas'ala, the fact that we can only make dua to Allah alone, in terms of dua al-mas'ala, we can only ask Allah Ta'ala alone. We can't ask any saint, we can't ask any wali, any prophet. إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ. You alone we worship and you alone we ask for help. So we do not make dua to the Prophet of Allah, the best of creation, sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. So when you find the people, you know, in Medina for example, facing the grave of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with their arms up like this, the Kaaba is in the opposite direction. The Kaaba is literally 180 degrees away from the grave where some of these people stand, and they put their hands up making dua to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Wal iyaza billah. So this type of dua is also included in worship, dua al-mas'ala. So this is not permissible, and likewise, it's not permissible to say, Ya Rasulullah, give me such and such. Ya Rasulullah, you go into some of the mosques, and you find on a huge sign, Ya Allah, and right next to it, Ya Muhammad, O Allah, and right next to it, O Muhammad. It's a way of asking Allah, it's a way of making dua to Allah. This is shirk. This is shirk. وَمَنْ يَدْعُ مَعَ اللَّهِ إِلَٰهًا آخَرَ لَا بُرْهَانَ لَهُ بِهِ فَإِنَّمَا حِسَابُهُ عِنْدَ رَبِّهِ إِنَّهُ لَا يُفْلِحُ الْكَافِرُونَ. And whoever makes dua to other than Allah, to another ilah besides Allah, he doesn't have any proof for doing so, his hisab is with Allah, and Allah doesn't let them, the disbelievers, prosper. So these people who do this, they are classified as disbelievers once evidence has been given to them. This is no permission from myself or from the scholars of Al-Islam to go and make takfir of anyone who does this. We're talking about the person, as Shaykh Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab himself says in a question, when somebody asks him, you make takfir of the Muslims, you call them disbelievers. And he himself replied that, no, I don't. This is, when we're talking about this person's a disbeliever, we're talking about once evidence has been established over him. When once he has been given the evidence. Ya akhi, look in the Quran. Allah says, وَأَنَّ الْمَسَاجِدَ لِلَّهِ فَلَا تَدْعُوا مَعَ اللَّهِ أَحَدًا. That the mosques belong to Allah, so don't make dua to anyone along with Allah. Oh brother, oh sister, Allah says in the Quran, إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ. You alone we worship, you alone we ask for help. So therefore direct all your worship to Allah. If a person still continues after this, once the scholar has given him evidence, he becomes a disbeliever outside the fold of Islam. Then he says, وَدَلِيلُ الْخَوْفِ قَوْلُهُ تَعَالَى فَلَا تَخَافُوهُمْ وَخَافُونِ إِن كُنْتُمْ مُؤْمِنِينَ. There's different ways that this ayah can be used to prove that khawf is to have fear. Khawf is to have fear. And it should be directed to Allah alone. So do not fear them, do not fear them, but fear me if you are believers. This part of the ayah, do not fear them, From this, we can see that we're not allowed to direct this fear to other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَخَافُونِي but fear me. From this part, we can see that all fear should be directed to Allah alone. Why? Because Allah Ta'ala has ordered this. He's ordered to fear me. If Allah has ordered something, will Allah order something that He's not pleased with? Or He doesn't love? No. Allah can never order something that He's not pleased with and He doesn't love. So therefore, when Allah orders, fear me, it comes in that definition of ibadah, that ibadah is a general term. We're going to keep referring to this definition. Ibadah is a general term for all that Allah loves and is pleased with, of statements and action both inward and outward. So if Allah orders something in the Quran, He only orders it if He's pleased with it, if He loves that action. So therefore, this is something, khawf, is something of the heart, and it is something that Allah loves and is pleased with, and therefore it is worship. And if now we have proved that this is worship, as I said earlier on, it means that it should only be directed to Allah, and to direct it to other than Allah is shirk. And whoever does this is a disbeliever. And then the third way of proving from this ayah is Allah says, if you are believers, in kuntum mu'mineen, if you are believers. So here Allah has connected and adjoined having fear of Allah with having iman. With having fear of Allah with having iman, He's joined them together. So if you are believers, then fear me, fear Allah. Don't fear them. Fear Allah. Is that clear? Three ways of proving that fear should only be directed to Allah. A point to note, it doesn't mean that we can't fear other than Allah. There are certain types of fear. Not every single type of fear is shirk. Is only the khawf al-sir, the hidden fear, hidden reverential fear, that is shirk. And fear, khawf, is of three categories. The first is khawf al-sir. The hidden, inner reverential fear. The second is the khawf al-muharram. The prohibited fear. And the third خوف الجائز the fear which is allowed. And this is also known as الطبيعي, the natural fear. خوف الطبيعي. So as for khawf al-sir, it is to fear other than Allah in that which no one is capable of doing something except for Allah alone. No one is capable of doing this thing, you know, giving some sort of harm or whatever, musiba, difficulty, problem or something like that. No one has this capability of Allah, except Allah. For example, you fear that a wali, if I disobey him, I'm gonna, you know, he's gonna make me go into the hellfire. You fear that this wali, or this peer, or this dead person in this grave, or a prophet, or an angel, that if you do a certain act, then this prophet will make you ill, or, you know, he'll harm you without any apparent cause. For example, in the grave of Al-Badawi, and Badawi, Imam Al-Badawi, for these people, and when they're in front of the grave of Badawi, and you only have to go to India and Pakistan, you know, to see this the likes of this, and Iraq, and various other places in the world, Syria, to some degree. And you find that at the graves of these people, at the graves of such people, these mushrikeen, who call themselves Muslims, they have display a fear. They display this fear. And they're scared of doing certain things. They're scared because they feel that they might get ill health. It's almost like an amulet or a charm. You know, that they're scared of this wali and this, what they've made as idols. And the mushrikeen, they fear their ilah, their object of worship, in this inner reverential type of fear. And this type of fear is shirkul akbar. It takes the person outside the fold of Islam. And the second type of fear that we mentioned is khawf al-muharram. And this is the fear of the creation such that it makes a person do something haram or leave something which is wajib, obligatory. Khawf al-muharram, the prohibited fear. So for example, a person knows that he has to pray Salat al-Dhuhr, or let's say Salat al-Asr, at a certain time. And he's amongst his friends. And he feels embarrassed. He fears his friend taking, you know, the mick out of him when he goes to pray. This is khawf al-muharram. This is a prohibited fear. Now this is generally not shirk al-akbar, but rather if it's muharram, it's haram and prohibited. For example, if a person he doesn't do a certain act of worship, and I'll mention certain acts of worship, not in order to, not in a derogatory way, but because of my love for the Muslim, that we should know that certain acts of worship a person should do, whether or not someone he fears, an individual or not. Maybe he's prohibited to do the act of worship by his parents. It's haram for him to follow them in this case. Like, for example, the shaving of the beard for the man. Prophet ﷺ said, leave your lihya, leave the beard, let it flow. It's an obligation upon the man. Like for the woman to wear the hijab, the veil, or the covering. These are obligations. And one should not fear any individual because they have prohibited him or her from doing that. Rather, they should fear Allah, Rabbul Alameen. He is the one who is going to reward. He is the one who is going to punish. The punishment of the people of this life is nothing compared to the punishment of Shadeedul Iqab, the one severe in punishment. It's nothing. The punishment in the hereafter, the hellfire, is 70 times. The heat of the hellfire is 70 times more intense than the heat of the fire, any fire in this world. On the Day of Judgment, brothers and sisters, a mother who is suckling her child, feeding her child, and this is a time where the mother and child are the closest relationship two people can have. The mother and the child, when the child is suckling from the mother. A mother who is suckling her child on the Day of Judgment, she will pull the child away from her breast and throw that child on the ground and stand on the child because of fear of Allah Ta'ala Rabbul Alameen. So this is what the mother can do on that day. And the mother will go to the son and vice versa. And the friend will go to his friend. Ask them for deeds. Give me just one hasana. Give me one hasana. Give me one good deed. So that I may be close to Allah on this day. So I may be saved. No, get away from me. Get away from me, they will say. The mother will say this to the son and the daughter. The children will say this to their own parents. Get away from me, because I fear my Lord. Because on this day, friends will be foes. Friends and allies in this life will be enemies of one another on that day. So we should not fear any individual, no matter who that individual is, when it comes to the commands and obligations and the prohibitions and the hudud and the limits of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. So this is khawf al-muharram, the prohibited type of fear. And the third type of fear is khawf al-ja'iz, is permissible fear, that which is allowed, and it is khawf al-tabi'i, it's also known as the natural fear, which Allah has instilled in us, it's in our nature. This type of fear is not shirk, neither is it haram. In fact, as I said, it's natural, like the fear of a fire. And it has a reason, there's a reason for this. If you fear the fire, then you guard yourself from it. If you fear being cold, then you put, you know, warm clothes on. This kind of thing. You fear being bitten by a dog, so you take precaution so that you are not bitten by a dog. So there's this is the khawful ja'iz, the permissible type of fear. So we'll finish here for about 15 minutes inshaAllah, and then we'll get back together at about 20 past 12 inshaAllah. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت واستغفرك وأتوب إليك.